As a result, the mind simply shifts to another physical disorder. One man in his mid-40s told me that 10 years before, he had started to have trouble with his low back. After many years, it was relieved by surgery. A few months after the operation, he began to have stomach ulcer problems, and that went on for almost 2 years. The doctor tried a number of medications, but just couldn't get rid of the ulcer. Finally, it stopped. And shortly thereafter, the patient began to have neck and shoulder pain. It had been going on for almost 2 years, and so he had come to see me. The back surgery and ulcer treatment didn't alleviate his basic problem. They merely acted as placebos and mandated a shift in the location of his physical symptoms. The ulcer story is interesting. There has been a decline in the incidence of peptic ulcer in the United States and Canada over the past 20 to 30 years, due in part to the effective drugs that have been developed. For a better explanation, however, I am indebted to columnist Russell Baker, who in one of his Sunday columns in the New York Times Magazine asked, "Where have all the ulcers gone?" Mr. Baker pointed out that people seem to be getting fewer ulcers. The article set me to speculating that since everyone, doctors and laymen alike, had come to realize that ulcers really meant tension, and since they could be treated successfully with medications, they no longer served the purpose of hiding tension, so fewer people developed them. Could this be the reason why neck, shoulder, and back pains have become so common in recent years? Is it possible that these are now much better hiding places for tension than the stomach? Severity of TMS is measured not only by the intensity of the pain, but by the degree of physical disability that exists. What things is the person afraid of or unable to do? Disability may be more important than pain because it defines the individual's ability to function personally, professionally, socially, and athletically. In the long run, fear and preoccupation with physical restrictions are more effective as a psychological defense than pain. A severe attack of pain may be over in a few days, but if the person is afraid to do things for fear of inducing another attack, or because he or she has found that the activity will invariably bring on pain, even if it is not an acute attack, then the preoccupation with the body is continuous and the defense is working all the time. In the majority of patients with whom I work, this is the most important factor. Occasionally, I have a patient who says that he or she has no physical restrictions, that pain is the only problem. But such patients are rare. Most patients are afraid of physical activity, which tends to perpetuate the problem by inducing further anxiety and often leads to depression as well. What one sees is truly a physicophobia, a fear of physical activity. The degree of preoccupation with symptoms is a measure of the severity of the problem. Many patients report that the syndrome dominates their lives, while others are clearly obsessed by the disorder. It is the first thing they think of when they awaken in the morning and the last at night before sleep comes. A young woman with whom I was working said one day that she was terrified of the physical pain. It was clear as we talked, however, that she was really terrified about emotional things, and the pain syndrome had allowed her to avoid them. It has been my experience that the overall severity of the pain syndrome, including obsessional components, is a good guide to the importance of the underlying emotional state of the patient. By importance, I mean how much anger there is, and how severe the traumas of early life are that have contributed to that person's current psychological state. People who were abused as children, emotionally or physically, but especially sexually, tend to have enormous reservoirs of rage and shame. This is one of the first things I think of when I see someone who has a particularly severe TMS. The physical symptoms are the means by which they remain out of contact with some terrible, frightening, deeply buried feelings. Those words are not exaggerations. There is great fear and probably enormous rage festering in their minds that they dare not acknowledge. Such patients will tell you that they understand why the pain will not leave. For when they begin to get close to those buried feelings, they are panic-stricken and can proceed no further. They invariably require psychotherapy as part of the therapeutic program. On the other hand, in the great majority of people with TMS, about 85%, the anger level and the reasons for it are much milder, and they experience no emotional reaction when the pain disappears. One has the impression in these cases that the mind has overreacted to the anger, and the defense wasn't necessary in the first place. What has been described is universal in our culture. Only the degree of repressed emotionality varies. And in our culture, nature has created a mechanism whereby we can avoid being aware of those bad feelings. It gives us physical symptoms. Fortunately, there is a way of stopping what is clearly a maladaptive response for most of us. Logic tells us that the brain is reacting in an infantile fashion. However, my work with TMS has demonstrated that the brain has other attributes and can reverse the process that leads to physical symptoms. Fear is pervasive. Anything that heightens anger will increase the severity of symptoms. One of my patients reported that she left the doctor's office in a state of shock, having been told that the lower end of her spine was degenerating. She said she almost fainted in the street, and that her pain was much worse after the visit to the doctor. There are many things about having back pain that stimulate fear. The American public is now convinced that the back is a fragile, delicate structure, easily injured, and perpetually vulnerable. There are dozens of do's and don'ts. Don't bend, don't lift with a straight back, don't sit on a soft chair or couch, don't swim the crawl or breaststroke, don't wear high heels, don't arch your back, don't sleep on a soft mattress, don't run or pursue vigorous sports, etc. ad nauseam. A large group of my successfully treated patients, many thousands, have demonstrated that these are not valid instructions. All they succeed in doing is help perpetuate the pain syndrome and make life hell. There is fear of recurrent attacks. Anyone who has had a severe back attack cannot help but live in terror of the next one. Ironically, by contributing to a high level of anxiety,